guys ready for the Word of God tonight? Are you ready? Did you guys read the thankful things that we set up outside? We're trying to prepare your hearts. We're right in the middle of a series called 101 Reasons. And really, there's more than 101 reasons to thank God. But who here loves Thanksgiving? Is it like your favorite holiday? What's your favorite food to eat? Everything. What? Tamales, turkey. Okay, anyways. There's many things to be thankful for. Did you guys read our board? The little things to be thankful for. Contagious laughter. What other ones were there? A charged battery. Is that your favorite? Contagious laughter? Yeah, that's a good one. So there are many things to be thankful for. So I get to bring the word tonight, which I'm excited. If you guys don't know who I am, Pastor Richard is my husband. I'm his wife, Pastor Michelle. We grew up in this youth ministry. We are homegrown. I've been here since fourth grade. And so I am ready to get into the word. You guys ready? Okay, let's pray. Because I need God, but so do you. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for tonight, God. We have already had an experience with you, Father. I pray that you would anoint this word, God, that we would come into your house and literally seek you, that we're not here just to hang out. We're not here just to hear some music. But God, we are here to seek you, know you, hear your voice. So Holy Spirit, speak to us. If that's you, then say amen. I'm ready. All right, Luke 17. Go ahead and turn there with me. I'm going to read you a story, and it's going to be interesting because everyone is going to be able to relate with this story. You're going to be one or the other person. It's a really difficult story, and a lot of people don't preach on it, so maybe you've never heard this before. But we're talking about Thanksgiving, and we're talking about being thankful, and there's a story in the Bible of a group of people who came to get healing from Jesus, and only one person returned to thank him. Only one. And so let's go ahead and read it. It says in Luke 17, verse number 11. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that Jesus had passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then he had entered a certain village, and there he met 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. How many people have ever heard of the disease called leprosy? I just want to see. Have you guys ever heard of it? Okay, I'll explain it to you what it is. It's like your worst case of acne. Like all over to the point where your skin is like falling off and disgusting and gross and oozing and just, I mean, it is disgusting. It's gross, okay? In fact, it's so highly contagious that if you, back in that time, if you caught leprosy, which it was contagious, if you caught it, then you were sentenced to an area that nobody else was allowed to go to. You could not talk to your family. You could not see anybody. You couldn't get a job. You couldn't go to church. You couldn't do anything because you were highly contagious. You might as well have just died, basically. Why live anymore? There was no hope. There was no cure. There was just this outcast of people who were just basically rotting away. And here are 10 of them who did something very illegal. They left where they were supposed to go, and they found Jesus because they knew that was their only hope. So it says here that the 10 men stood afar off because they knew better. If they were to touch somebody, someone else could get that disease, and they didn't want to put that on somebody else. So it says that they stood afar off from Jesus, and they lifted up their voices, and they said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when Jesus saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourself to the priests." It's kind of a funny thing. I'll explain it in a minute. And so it was as they went that they were cleansed. And one of them, everybody say one. All right, no, you guys got to play with me tonight. Everybody say one. Okay, thank you. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice, glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Now, a Samaritan was somebody of a different race. They were from Samaria. You had the Jewish people, and you had the Samaritans, and they did not like each other, all right? There was some conflict going on there. And so Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the other 9? Were there not any found who returned to give Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except the foreigner, which was the Samaritan guy? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Okay, let's break down this story a little bit because it goes a lot deeper than what we're just reading here on paper. You see, these people were diagnosed with something that was, there was no cure. And maybe you've been in that place before. Maybe you have a medical diagnosis, or maybe it's something inside of you. Maybe it's an internal thing. You just can't kick a habit. You just can't stop thinking about that thing. You just can't keep asking yourself, well, maybe I'm supposed to be like this. My parents were like this, so maybe I'm supposed to be like this. Maybe you just can't get off that habit, or you can't get off those thoughts. You're depressed, whatever it is. So maybe you can kind of see yourself as one of these lepers. You see, they stood afar off, like I said, and they shouted at Jesus. But you know what was interesting is when Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest, that was the standard thing to do. The law said that if you thought you had leprosy, if you had like a weird little funky mole, you know, that you had growing on and you're like, I don't know what that is. Maybe I should go to Kaiser. Well, they didn't have Kaiser back then. Okay, so they went to the priest. The priest did everything. It's like if I was sitting here and I had to take your temperature or something like that. Very weird, right? Okay, and that's what they did. And the priest would, I'm serious, you read in Leviticus, it has like three chapters about leprosy. Like, see if it's white. See if it goes away after a week. Is there hair growing out of it? It's disgusting, and that's all in the Word of God, okay? And so you're supposed to go show yourself to the priest. So what Jesus told them wasn't profound. What Jesus said to them wasn't this whole huge, big deal. Like you maybe, have you ever gone for prayer or you wish that you got a word from God and you want it to be spectacular and miraculous and glorious, right? And then all of a sudden it was like, God bless you. Okay, and it was like a touch from God. That's what happened to them. Jesus, finally we escaped. And there's Jesus. And he says, oh, just go show yourself to the priest. Okay? And he was like, what? So they're walking and they're obeying Jesus Christ. And on their way, they get healed. But there was 10 of them and only one came back to say thank you. Don't you find it interesting? Look at your Bible. Go ahead, look at it. Look how thick. Look how many pages are in here. Look at all the Word of God that is in here, which I want you to know, this is the inspired Word of God. That God himself spoke through man and wrote this book. It is preserved thousands of years so you and I can know what God wants, know who God is, know that this is the truth, know that he is real. And in this, he decides to tell a story about how one person came to say thank you. Isn't that funny? Don't you think that that's important to God if he would write a story about it? I mean, he's God. I mean, there's like billions of people on the planet. And he's like, and only one person came to say thank you? Okay, I mean, you would almost think God has that attitude. Jesus has a little attitude, but you know what? There's something to be learned here from this verse. If you guys had walked in earlier and you saw the little art that we had going on, one of the pieces of the art says this. It says, it's not happy people that are thankful, but thankful people that are happy. See, thankfulness has a lot to do with you and your happiness and your lifestyle and how you're doing with God. You never knew that, did you? That your level of thankfulness, whether it's to God, whether it's to your parents, whatever it is, and later on we're going to take a little quiz, so get ready for that. But you know what? It's not that guy or girl that's going to make you happy. It's not the clothes. It's not the amount of money. It's not how many Facebook friends you have or whatever, okay? It's a relationship with God, because did you ever notice about happiness? It's not tangible. It means like I can't touch happiness. I can't feel it. I can't actually hold it. I can't buy it, because happiness is something internal. And the only way to achieve that is through a connection with God and through a connection with people. Those are the things that bring true happiness. In fact, did you guys, I'm sure you guys have heard about now the Kardashian wedding. Have you guys heard about that? Right? Old news, but I'm going to talk about it a minute. The Kardashians. They always make a big deal about stuff, right? So big a deal that she had a $10 million wedding. $10 million. That is huge. I mean, that is a lot of money. $10 million. In fact, the cheapest item at the wedding, you want to know what the cheapest thing at the wedding was? It was a $43 butter knife. The butter knife was the cheapest thing, and everybody got it. $43? $43. I would not pay for chicken for you guys for $43, okay? I want you to know that, all right? I mean, that is insane. That is nuts. I mean, she had everything. That marriage had every material thing, but it ended in 72 days. 72 days. I'm sure it ended before it even started, but we had some contracts to sign. I'm sure that's how it was, okay? But regardless, there's something to do with thankfulness. There's something to do with happiness, and God's will for you is not to be wrapped up in material things, but to find joy and love and that sort of thing in him and the people that he surrounds you with. So there's things with this leper that I want to look at. Lessons from the Thankful Leper is the title of tonight's message. So you guys ready to get into it? Yes? Okay. What can we learn from this leper? Number one is to obey him despite boredom and simplicity. You know, when they asked him, actually all 10 of those guys listened to exactly what Jesus said, even though it was something that they probably already done before. They probably already went to go see the priest. Now, there's different reasons why Jesus sent them, whether it was just simply an obedient command or whether it was the fact that he knew that they were going to be healed. And so only the priest could actually say, you're right, that dirty, nasty mole is gone. You can leave, okay, the leper kingdom. All right, I mean, whatever it was, they had to go do the same thing that they've already done before. And see, we can learn from this leper that we need to obey God despite boredom and simplicity. I'm going to be honest with you, and I'm sure you've been here before, but there's times where you go to church and you are bored. There's times where you earnestly want to seek God, but you feel like you've heard it before. There's times where you really want to enter into worship, but you just can't do it. And even in those times, you need to still push through and you need to still go, because God has something waiting for you. God has a miracle for you. God has something for you, whether it's a revelation of word, whatever it is, you've got to push through regardless of how simple it is or how boring it is. You cannot make God, church, worship common. You can't. You cannot make the word of God common. You've got to hold it up. You've got to be thankful for it. And that's how you do that, is you thank God for these times that we get to gather together. I always forget how many services we have for youth. You know, I don't know, Wednesday, Saturday, 3 Sunday mornings, 1 Sunday night. So that's 6 services a week. 6 times we get to meet together and talk about the word of God. What an amazing thing. Let's not make it common. We cannot just sit in here and think that just because we sit our cute little bum in a seat, that boom, it's good enough. Because I cannot find that in the word. But I do find that I need to be thankful and I need to seek God and I need to earnestly go after him no matter what the redundancy is or the boredom that I might feel. Because here's the deal, that God does not lose power. God's church is always growing, always getting bigger, always moving forward. And by church, I mean worldwide. The fact that worship and praise to God does not lose power. But this is what happens. We fail to recognize that power. We fail to sit back and really stand in awe of what God's doing. We start to not listen to the messages. We start to sit back during worship. You see, you guys, it's not God who loses the power, but it's us who's not recognizing it. And that's why we need to continue in obedience with him. See, those 10 people came to him with faith. Those 10 people knew that whatever Jesus told them to do, they would do it because they would get healed. When Jesus tells you to do something, like let's just say, how about not sleeping with somebody before marriage? Do you really think that's the best thing for you? Or do you just try not to do it and try to keep your pants on and hopefully nothing will happen? I don't know how he got naked, Pastor Michelle. It was the weirdest thing. Okay, I mean, what is going on? But you have to believe that that's the best thing for you, because God has a soulmate for you. Do you really believe the best thing for you is not to be clubbing it up on the weekends, not to be drinking till you pass out? Do you really think that God has more for you? Because he does. You've got to live in obedience with him because he knows the best thing for you. And these guys who wanted a healing, they wanted a touch from God. They knew that Jesus had the best thing. They knew. You see, you need to come with faith. Whether it's a headache, today, I'm preaching this message today, I had a headache. And I went to go take my Advil, and I said, you know what? No, I'm not going to take it. I'm just going to believe God for my healing. And the headache went away. And I want to tell you guys that because you need to know that God is in the healing business. You need to know that God is healing people. And did it try to come back later on today? Yes, it did. But I prayed again. I said, no, I am preaching, and I want to use this as an example, devil. So I will not have a headache, Jesus' name. And I don't have a headache. So I just want you to know Jesus can heal that. Okay. When you walk into this sanctuary, you need to think, what is God going to speak to me today? What am I going to get today? How can I bless God today? How can I tell him thank you during worship today? How can I give him praise? In 1 Samuel 15:22, go ahead and go with me to the Old Testament. Are you guys there? Are you guys there? Are you guys there? Are you guys here with me? Oh, I was like, you guys should have seen me. I about got buck wild right now. I said, nobody said I'm here with you, Pastor Michelle. Okay, 1 Samuel. Turn to 1 Samuel 15:22. We're going to go in the Old Testament. And I want to read you a story. This is about Saul. Saul was one of the first, was the first king. And Samuel anointed him as king. And he told them his first job to do was to go into the city and you've got to kill everyone. Every living, breathing thing has got to die, right? That was what God told this king to do. This is an enemy of God. That's what he was told to do. Simple job. That's what you're supposed to do. So Saul goes in there. Saul says, you know what? There's some nice cattle here. Let's take all the cattle. We're going to sacrifice it to the Lord. But that wasn't what God asked him to do. And then he went ahead and he saved the king also of the opposite of the enemy. And he saved the king. That's not what God asked him to do. So God woke up the prophet Samuel. He said, hey, your boy Saul, he didn't do what I told him to do. And Samuel was like, what? So he goes down there. He's like, Saul, you're such a great king. All of a sudden, he starts hearing all the cattle. I mean, I don't know how much cattle. I don't know if it was hundreds. I don't know if it's thousands that they have saved, that they were going to sacrifice to God. He wasn't supposed to do that. And the prophet just couldn't even believe what he did. In fact, this is what he said in 1 Samuel 15:22. So Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better to sacrifice. I want you to think on that. In fact, if you have it in your Bibles, I want you to highlight it and I want you to underline it. To obey God is better than sacrifice. Let's put it in modern day terms. It is better to obey God than to sacrifice your Wednesday nights just coming and doing whatever, not really being here. Just kind of just coming just because of you like that girl, you like that guy, you know, you're just here just to be here because you don't want to be home. To obey God is better than sacrifice. Doesn't matter how many services you come to. Doesn't matter how many ministries you're involved in. If you are not real with God, obeying him with your life, because the obedience walked out is more of worship to him than a sacrifice. That's what we need to remember. To obey him despite boredom and spirit and simplicity. Number two. What else can we learn from the thankful leper? To glorify God with a loud voice. It says in that scripture, says that when he saw his healing, he ran back. Immediately. He ran back. As soon as he saw that disease was gone, he ran back and worshiped God, glorified God with a loud voice. See, you and I, when God answers a prayer, do we even recognize it? Do we even realize that he even answered that prayer? Are we running back to him with thankfulness? Are we thanking him daily for what he's given us every day? Are we thanking him not just, oh, yeah, thanks God for thank you, God, for this food. Bless it to my body. Amen. Okay, I mean, that's cool. But what else has God given you? It says that he glorified God with a loud voice. Our worship is loud, right? I mean, would you guys? In fact, I was walking around a girl. I think she must be in the junior high service. I just met her. Her name is Chloe. She's deaf, but she walked in here and she's like, it's loud. And I'm like, Chloe, I thought you said you were deaf. And it's so loud that I guess she can hear a little bit, but she's the cutest thing. She's like, the guitars are loud, you know, and I know very little sign language, but I knew what Chloe was saying. Okay. And so our worship is loud because we have something to worship God about. Maybe God hasn't taken you out of something. Well, you need to rise up and realize that the same God that healed these lepers can heal you of whatever you're going through. That you've been saved from something. And that we need to recognize this, and we actually need to worship him and praise him with a deserving, loud, glorifying voice. You see, here's the deal. A simple belief in God, maybe right now, you just have a simple belief in God. I believe there is a God. Maybe that's where you're at right now. It needs to grow. It needs to go further. You need to step out and go farther with God. Because a simple belief in a God isn't going to sustain you. You're not going to make it. I love you enough to tell you that truth. You need to step out and go further with God. You need to start glorifying him just like this guy did. Now, we don't use the word glorify very much, right? Like, I don't say that very often. So let me give you the definition of glorify. It means to think, suppose, or be of opinion. To praise, to extol, to magnify, to celebrate, to honor, hold in honor. To make glorious, adorn, clothed with splendor, to make famous. Those are some good definitions. This is my personal definition. To hold an opinion about God and tell him about it. Tell others about it and live for him. What's your opinion about God? What is your opinion? Is it a thankful opinion? Is it a glorifying opinion? Or is it just, well, I kind of believe in him. I don't know. I just do this. My mom always just made me come. Or is it something where it's inside of you, burning inside of you? It's an opinion that's like, he is everything. He is holy. He is my answer. He is the truth. There is no one else but him. What is your opinion about God? Now, we have opinions about everything. And maybe you didn't realize this, but maybe you're glorifying other stuff. Like, maybe there's a pair of shoes that you have opinions of. Oh, these shoes. They're glorious. They're wonderful. I love these Nikes. I mean, think about it. I mean, what is there something else that you are worshiping? What is something else that you guys really like? What is this new video game, that modern what? Modern Warfare. It's amazing. It is the best thing on this planet. I'm going to tell all my friends about it. It changed my life. I don't sleep anymore. My eyes are like this. And they just randomly tear even though I don't blink. Because I'm playing the game for so long. Okay, what else? We glorify things and we don't even realize it. Is there a musical artist that you're a little obsessed with? Is it Nicki Minaj? I don't understand Nicki Minaj, I'm going to be honest. Like, I finally feel old because I don't get her. I don't get her at all. I do not understand the outfits. I don't understand the makeup. I don't understand the hair. Okay, I am finally old. Okay, I get it. But if you're like, Nicki Minaj, oh, her wig, her lip, weird colored lip gloss, I don't get it, okay? I mean, whatever it is, if you don't understand how to glorify God, then just think about your favorite thing and how you talk about it. Now reverse that to Jesus. Start talking about Jesus. Start telling somebody, where were you Wednesday night? Oh, I had an encounter with God. Go ahead, let those words come out of your mouth. Do it. Why not? Update your status and say where you're at on Wednesday night. Tell somebody about Jesus. Tell them what he's doing for you. Someone says, hey, those are nice shoes. You know what? I'm a tither. God bless me, so I bless him, and look what I got. God is so good. He knew exactly what I wanted. Let that glorifying come out of your mouth, just like that guy did with a loud voice. In Romans 1:21, I know Pastor Richard touched on this subject, but I want to read it again. And he's talking about people who stop serving God. It says, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. And the birds and the four-footed animals and creeping things. And you go on in that chapter and it's all kinds of craziness happens. But it says that they took the glory of God and they made it like it was man-made. It says they didn't worship the creator anymore. They just made it like anything else. And that's why when someone says a statement like, well, I believe in a God, you better check yourself before you wreck yourself, because there's one God. And when you start to have futile thinking, well, all roads lead to heaven, don't they? I thought Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life. One way. You see, we got to get into our word and start reading it. We got to start understanding it. Because that's how we glorify him and the truth. When we have an opinion about God that he is number one, the almighty, the one who knows all, created all, then that is glorifying him. That is worshiping him. Not just a maybe, not just a, you know, I kind of believe in God or whatever. But really having opinion about him, we cannot treat God like we treat everything else. We cannot. When you do that, I question your relationship with Jesus Christ. Because he should be different. He is holy. He is amazing. Number two, let's move on. Number two, the thankful leper. Thankfulness will erase entitlement. I'm going to explain what entitlement is, but first, let's go back to the story. There were 10 people who needed healing. 9 of them did not come back and say thank you. 1 did, and it says in the Word of God that he was a foreigner. He was a Samaritan. So it shows me, and it possibly could be, that the rest of them, the other 9, were of the same race as Jesus. They were Jewish. And maybe they thought to themselves, well, I just assumed I would get this. I mean, duh. Of course I should get this. And see, that's an entitlement mentality where you feel like someone owes you something, where you feel like, of course, you deserve it. You know, someone just posted this on Facebook, and I want to show you a picture of it. We have a picture up right here of 20-year-olds. 20-year-olds. In 1944, we're giving everything. And 20-year-olds in 2011 want everything. Let that soak in. Because where do you stand? You're the next generation. What's it going to be for you? Are you going to give everything? Or are you going to want everything? An entitlement, we don't even realize we have it until we catch ourselves being incredibly rude. Until we catch ourselves wanting the right to something when we didn't even deserve it. You know, the entitlement, this is the definition. The right to something without work or gratitude that the world, God, and church owes you something. That I deserve this. They should treat me like this. Don't they know who I am? It's this entitlement, and sometimes we don't even realize we have it. So I'm going to give you guys a quiz. You guys ready? Just answer this to yourself. Entitlement quiz. Number one, do you yell at your parents? I'm just saying. I said answer to yourself. Everyone's confessing sins here. Do you yell at your parents? Do you freak out when things don't go your way? Do you stop listening to the preacher when they say something you don't agree with? Do you think rules don't apply to you? If you break a rule, do you think you should be able to get away with it? Entitlements. I heard a lot of yeses there. Next one, number 6. Do you plan on living in your mother's basement till you're 35? Mama! Mama, my scrambled eggs are cold, Mama. I'm just saying. Okay. When's the last time you told your parent or guardian thank you? Think about that. When's the last time? Are you rude to your waiter or waitress? Are you rude to them? Are you reckless with your stuff? With your phone? with your car, with clothes, with your bedroom? Is there like cereal under your bed from sixth grade? That's what I'm talking about. Do you think the government owes you? They need to get me a job. They need to get me into school. They need to get me my food. They need to get me a place to live. I'm just saying, you guys, because if you think the government's going to take care of you, wake up. Wake up. Go to school. Get a job. Support your family. Support yourself. God will take care of you. I'm just saying. See, entitlement will only lead to disappointment. Because you think everyone owes you. And you know what's going to happen? They're not going to give stuff to you. And you're going to be disappointed because they're going to let you down. People are going to let you down if you put that type of standards on them. Sure, it's going to make you feel better and it's going to make you feel smarter than everybody else. But it's going to eventually leave you bitter and feeling like everyone else has failed you. See, that's where thankfulness comes in. Because thankfulness doesn't allow yourself to go there. Thankfulness remembers where you came from. Thankfulness realizes, you know what, God, who am I that you would die on the cross for me? Who am I, just one person, that you would shed your blood for me? That's where that entitlement feeling has to go. And thankfulness comes in with gratitude, thanking God. I want to read you guys a verse that helps me keep out of that entitlement mentality. I always think about this. It says in Luke 14:10, it says, "But when you are invited, go and sit down in the lowest place, so that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, go up higher.' Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you." Have you ever go to sit down at lunch or something? And then someone's like, "Oh no, someone's sitting there." And you're like, "Oh, my bad." Okay. And you're just a little bit embarrassed. Or you go to sit by somebody. "Oh, sorry, this seat is taken." Okay. And that's what it's talking about. You need to see yourself in a humble position. It says sit at the lower seat and then be asked to go higher. Not that you are entitled to everything and everyone needs to give to you. Number four, the last one, what we can learn from the thankful leper, is get more out from God. He got more than the other people. And I want to show you in Luke. Turn back there with me. In Luke, I believe it was 17. But I want to show you too in the scripture. And Jesus said in verse number 19, and he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." Now, the word "well," I looked it up. And you guys want to learn a little bit of Greek? You guys ready? Ready? Sozo. Everybody say sozo. Sozo. It means salvation. It's used throughout the rest of the Bible. That word is used throughout the rest of the Bible as salvation, saving him. So not only did this guy get healed, but he got saved. He got more out of God than the other nine. And I guarantee you, when you come with a thankful heart to God, you will recognize the more that God has for you. You will see it when other people don't see it. God will bless you. He will. You can never outgive God. God will bless you. Not only did he get salvation, but he got a conversation with Jesus Christ, God himself. You see, God has so much more for you. In 1 Corinthians 2:9, this is the last scripture for tonight. But it says this: "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God." God wants to show you more. There is always more of God. There is always new places. I've been serving God since I was 16 years old. We are going on 13 years that I have been serving God. And there is always more of him. There is always something new. There is always a new thing that he is showing me, taking me to. And it's the same thing with you. It's the same thing with you. But here's what you have to do. Is God will reveal it, but you need to respond to it. You need to recognize it. You need to realize what God is showing you and actually respond to it. Because then he'll show you more. Respond to him in worship. Respond to him in prayer. Maybe you might wake up in the middle of the night and you don't know why you can't go to sleep. Did you ever think God is trying to talk to you? Did you ever think that God is trying to say something to you? Instead of rolling over and texting somebody, are you awake too? Okay. You guys all laugh because you do that. But what about saying, God, do you have something to say to me? Because I'm here. Respond to him and you will get more out of God. That guy could have just kept on walking with everybody else. But he stopped and he responded to Jesus and he walked back. And he got salvation. God has more for you. Well, if you guys got something out of this, then go ahead and give the Lord a great big hand clap. This is a very, very fun series. We have one more week, and then we're going to come together and we're going to do worship. A whole night of worship. We're going to do communion. How many people have taken communion before? So there's quite a few who haven't. So it's going to be exciting. You're saying communion, exciting. Believe me, everything at The Rock we do exciting, okay? But it is just a really special time. How many of you guys have told your parents thank you within the last week? Look at you guys. We pastor such a good church. Keep on doing that. How about your teachers? A teacher. Just one. Sure, say thank you to a teacher. Sure, why not? They teach you and they don't get paid enough. I'll tell you that much. Show an attitude of thankfulness and watch God move in your life.